Kia ora mai tātou e te iwi, and welcome to AA Meeting on Air at Planet FM 104.6. A big kia ora to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. My name is Walter and I am an alcoholic, and I will be serving as your chairperson this morning. Please will you help me open this meeting with the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Alcoholics Anonymous preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, or organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Before we start with our sharing, we will read from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is text is used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism and a guide on how to live without alcohol in our lives. From the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, the alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others take with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. Unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of his or her recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. Tēnā koe, e te iwi, e te whānau. Would you just like to introduce yourselves, the sharers?
Hello, my name is Roddy, and I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Mike, alcoholic.
Kia ora, I'm Amber, and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, whānau, welcome. Matua Roddy, would you like to start our sharing, please?
Thanks very much, Walter, for the opportunity to share. Hello, everyone. My name's Roddy, and I am an alcoholic. Very grateful to be sober today, and grateful to be here with you folks. I drank for 19 years, and the last 14 of those years, I also used chemicals. I am primarily an alcoholic. I didn't know I was an alcoholic until I came to this fellowship of that said some things when I got here that I started to recognise in myself. Like one of the things that they talked about was that about me not being able to stop drinking, and For the whole 19 of my years, I wasn't able to stay stopped. I might have had periods, like might be 1 or 2 days, but never been able to stay stopped. And then they talked about this thing called the mental obsession, and I didn't understand what that meant until they started saying that. Have you ever thought about alcohol when you didn't have alcohol? And there was many times that I thought about alcohol, and many ways I tried to get alcohol. In my history, my brief history of drinking is that I got myself into trouble, which was through the criminal system, and never knowing why that was, why I did the things I did to gain alcohol, and also in my case was drugs, and then when I, what they meant by that was like when I stopped drinking, I was always waking up the next day and thinking about how I'm going to get my next drink, whether it was at the detriment of my friends and family and some of my employers. And, yeah, in that regards, you know, like never showed up for work because I'm too, either too hungover or didn't want to go to work because I wanted to go drink again. And then there was those times. And then, then the phenomenon of craving, which was, that's what I talked about earlier. That I had never been able to stop drinking once I had taken my first drink of alcohol. I remember my first taste of alcohol. I was only a young fellow and in a family setting and drinking the froth off the containers of the of their drinks initially I didn't like the taste, but it made me feel different. And then, and also I remember my last drink. And my last drink was when I, after being incarcerated for a period of time, and I had had one pint, and when I had the one pint, because two nights earlier that I had first time in all my life, because I'm not a church going man, and when I heard about people saying that they would pray, so I thought for the first time in my life that I'd try this thing called praying, and that's what I did two nights previous before my last drink. And I said, if there is a God, can you help me? And I try to do the best that I can. And then following on from that, when I had my last drink, I was sentenced to a rehabilitation centre for me. And when I got to the rehabilitation centre, I saw these banners that talked about this program of recovery called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 Traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous and our Serenity Prayer, which is I find our Serenity Prayer quite soothing sometimes for me. And then I was still abstinent from alcohol and drugs for 2 years, but I was going nuts. I was going nuts and wasn't having anything to try and alleviate the stuff that was going through my head. And then I asked someone to help me with this program of recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is outlined in our literature, which is the basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, fondly called the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, I asked this man to become my sponsor, and he helped me through the process of the 12 steps through our Big Book. And saying that, it hasn't been a rosy journey for me. You know, I still get out of sorts, whether it's a glance or a sound, or I can get out of sorts sometimes, you know. And that's the insanity part of this thing called alcoholism. Through that, that's where our program of recovery and our Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, plus my sponsor, that's been able to help me put me on the right track. I've been able to restore relationships with my family. I've been able to come through some really tough times for me here in Alcoholics Anonymous in my life due to loss of family members and stuff like that. And I've been able to have the support of my friends that I have in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've gone back to school. I've even got my license to drive a car, and gone back to school, and I'm finding that's a bit of a buzz. I thought I was too clever for my own good at times, and Yeah, but it was, you know, like it was, it was like that. It's like that for me now. So you see, my friends, for me, this has been the best thing that I've ever done in my whole life, and it's the only thing that's helped me stay away from taking the first drink. And yeah, it's the best, and life is good for me today. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Roddy.
Thanks, Roddy.
Kia ora for Amber, would you like to share with us?
Thanks, Walter. Kia ora. Amber is my name, and I'm an alcoholic. It's lovely to be here and to have a privilege of sharing on the radio. Yeah, I'm just thinking about what my story is, you know, listening to Roddy, and just had a few memories. You know, the beauty of this program is that people speak honestly and from the heart, and when that happens, I become familiar with my own story. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, no one said to me, Amber, you're an alcoholic, you know. I was able to come to that by listening to others and hearing them talk honestly about what they'd been through, how they drank, what their rock bottoms were, how they affected the people that they loved. And I was able to, you know, with the big book and with the fellowship, as Roddy said, of people speaking honestly about what they've been through, identify that I had alcoholism and that I needed to do something about it. For me, you know, the journey started with DAC. That's what we called it when I was a kid. When I was 12, I had my first joint, and I was hooked straight away. I was addicted. I loved it. I really enjoyed how I felt, and it just took away all the problems, and everything that was wrong with the world was gone, and I was happy. And that's the feeling that I wanted every day. And it wasn't long before I was smoking every day and many times a day. And by the time I was 15 or 16, dope stopped working for me, and I experienced extreme paranoia. And so that's when my drinking really took off. And yeah, it went on for that journey went on for 20 plus years. And you know, my first drink was, you know, it was ugly. I took a nip out of the cap of rum with my good friend on a school camp, and it made my eyes water, and it made me gag and choke and throw up. But you know, that didn't stop me. Before you knew it, that whole 40-ounce was gone, and I got into some dangerous situations that night, and you know, possibly could have lost my life, and, you know, blacked out. There's parts of it that I don't remember, and, you know, a lot of my drinking, you know, was like that, blackouts, not remembering parts of it, waking up in places I never set out to be, before I started drinking that night, with people that I hadn't met before, and, you know, I was victimised by people, and I was hurt, and yeah, it was not pretty. It's not pretty for women that suffer from this disease. And I had trouble with relationships. I couldn't get on with people. I suffered from big emotions, big anger. And, I've always found life difficult, and I felt uncomfortable, and I felt different, and like it was difficult for me to fit in places. But when I drank, you know, all that went away, and, you know, it was just that elusive feeling that I was always looking for, you know, and alcohol and drugs always gave me that. Eventually I got married and had some children, and you know, my drinking kind of calmed down a bit, and my behaviour kind of calmed down a bit. But by the time my second child was 3 and a half and going off to Kohanga, my drinking ramped, you know, very unexpectedly, my drinking ramped right up to what it had been like before I'd had kids. And my husband would get concerned when I said I was going out, because, you know, I understand now he wasn't sure when I would come home, you know, if I would come home. So I was really lucky to have come into Alcoholics Anonymous through a series of events. I had my last drink where I had a blackout. I threw up on the driveway in front of my children, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, it's over. You know, it was just, I couldn't believe that I'd done that in front of my kids. And, you know, there was a lot of other stuff that was going on, but, you know, the shame and the humiliation of that, and you know, also having come from a family that had alcoholism as well, I knew that I was continuing on a pattern of and you know, a really destructive cycle, and that I had to find a way to change that or do something about it. So I ended up in AA, and you know, fortunately for me, I identified with all the others in the room at that first meeting, and I knew that the people there had an answer for me, and I knew that there was a chance that I would get better. And I haven't, you know, since that first meeting, that's over 5 years ago now, I haven't had to have another drink or take another drug. And all the other things that I had problems with, like relationships and anger and you know, violence and you know, work, you know, I've been able to with the help of the program and the people in the program, I've been able to find ways to deal with all that stuff that was always difficult for me. And you know, I'm just really grateful today to be sober and to do cool things like go to a radio station and, you know, record a show or something. You know, I've never done that. You know, recovery has brought all kinds of new and interesting opportunities to, you know, to me. And because I'm not drinking, because I'm present, you know, I can say yes to really cool things these days. And it's really enjoyable. And the greatest gift for me today is to be the mum that I always wanted to be, and to love my children and to show them that I love them, not, you know, not think it in my head, but actually show them by my actions. And yeah, today I think, you know, my family like me a bit more, and you know, they know I'm reliable, they know I'm going to be around when I say I'm going to be around. And yeah, just that I'm going to do the things that I say I'm going to do, and that they can rely on me to give them a hug when they need one, you know. And that's a really great gift today to me, and that's the greatest gift of this program, is that I can be a loving, you know, member of my own family, and I can participate in my family and, you know, my community and my country, and, you know, just be like everyone else. So, you know, this program is really awesome, and I'm really grateful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share, Walter. Cheers.
Thanks, Amber. Kia ora matua. Mike, would you like to share with us, man?
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Mike, alcoholic.
Hey, Mike.
Geez. I suppose start at the beginning, eh? My first drink. Three teens, I guess. Loved it. Well, more than just loved it, you know, I thought it was great. And I just couldn't understand why, you know, people that could go out and buy, you know, adults and stuff, could weren't just walking around drunk all the time. Because it was so fantastic for me that I, you know, I just wanted to get drunk all the time. And I tried that for quite a while. And it was all right, you know. Drinking, I enjoyed it for quite a while until it pretty much got out of hand. That would have been, when was that? Ooh, about 10 years ago. After about, I guess, 15 years of pretty much everyday drinking. I guess my teenagers, you know, they weren't drinking every day because, you know, it's just couldn't get it.
as often as I would have liked. But yeah, I drank pretty much every day. But it was only in the evenings, and then I remember the day when it progressed to pretty much drinking all the time. I sort of woke up and I quite enjoyed my drink the night previous, and I thought, oh, it'd be nice to have another one. And so that morning I cracked another can and got into it again, and you know, yeah, it was all right. Mine even went, I wasn't one of these, I'm not one of these drunks that sort of went out and did stupid stuff, you know, drunk, and I would just, you know, get nicely intoxicated and sort of fall asleep after a while and then get up and do it again. And unfortunately, though, my body couldn't take that much for very long. And it was probably maybe a couple of years later I started sort of, well, physically I started going downhill, and mentally, sort of psychologically, you know, I suffered from anxiety, nerves, sort of. And eventually I knew I had to do something, so I went to CADS and I walked in there, and the lady there called an ambulance for me. Apparently I wasn't in such a good condition. I didn't think I was that bad, but yeah, I ended up going to hospital, detoxing in hospital, and being sent to a rehab and spending time there, coming out, drinking again, and doing that a few more times, basically. And, yeah, I look back now and I think, geez, what was I thinking? You know, I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what. Maybe I thought I could sort of control it, or maybe I wasn't quite as bad as I, you know, as these alcoholics make themselves out to be, but, yeah. I guess, like, you know, when I first went into CADS, I didn't think I was that bad either then, but, you know, I had to go to hospital. Yeah, so I did that for quite a while, and I eventually realised that I kind of told myself, yeah, you know, I can't do this. Can't go on like this. Something's got to change, and, yeah. Apparently, you know, coming to AA, they talk of a solution. And I realised for myself that it was an abstinent sort of solution for me. And I knew I had to stop, find a way to stop starting again. And I'd get time up for quite a while, but nothing really changed, not internally, you know. I still sort of had the same outlook on life, and I'd do the same things and think the same things, and nothing really ever changed, even though I knew I had to change. But change what? I didn't know. And, yeah, people started talking about, you know, spiritual sort of things and stuff, and I knew that had to have something to do with my solution. But I just couldn't find it for myself. And I searched. I read a lot of books and watched a lot of movies and documentaries and all sorts of crazy stuff. But, yeah. Nothing ever sort of really. I just kept searching, I guess, and found no answers until, how do I put this into words? I don't know. I just sort of gave up searching. I sort of let go, as you hear people talk about, and just accepted, you know, whatever this crazy, mysterious life is about. You know, I don't know, but except that I just can't explain it, whatever, you know. It's the great mystery of existence, I guess. Oh, 2 minutes, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that, for me, that was the turning point. And things haven't really changed since. I mean, things have completely changed, you know. My total outlook on life, the way I had someone explain about spirituality being a change in outlook. I quite like this because it keeps it quite simple. And for me, that's what it's been like, pretty much. How do I interact with people around me and other, not only other people, but myself? How do I perceive things? And it's like just, it's very hard to put into words. And I try sometimes, and I think I sound quite stupid at times, you know, because I can't quite grasp the right words. But, yeah, life now is just, I would call it quite, there's a mystical side to life, I guess. I suppose I have been searching for, and I've found it. Whatever that, I can't put a word to it, but I don't have to now. So I'm glad I'm here, and thanks.
Thanks, Mark. That brings us towards the end of our meeting, to our AA friends and whānau. Thank you very much for your willingness to share your stories with us and our listeners. We truly hope that our message of recovery can help the still suffering alcoholic amongst our friends, family, whānau, and within our communities. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works or 0800 229 6757, who will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. That concludes our sharing this morning. AA Meeting on Air will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. Would you please help me close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
There are over 100 AA meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting. Thank you to our listeners, and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6. Kia ora mai tātou.
Tell me and I'll be around.